Into a little room, and we get to see all the presence of the Lord and see His, behold His beauty, and all those things in the world don't see it, they're not there.
Right.
So, amen. We just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. You know, imagine, you know, how wonderful it is to be in presence of other saints and in presence of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Imagine that there's forces out there that want to take that away from us.
Right.
You know? But you know what? We have a great shepherd.
Amen.
And there ain't no wolf, no bear, no lion that'll be able to take any of God's sheep.
Amen.
Not a one of them. And so we put all of our confidence in that. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I want to talk tonight about the domain of life. And so we'll read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll go to Galatians 5 after that. This is one of my favorite, of course, I guess, you know, your favorite scripture is always the one that's really just speaking to you right at the moment.
Yeah, right.
We do have favorite scriptures, but they're all good. But this one has always really stuck out to me. So it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, we mentioned that the other day. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled, right, in those who don't walk after the flesh but walk in the Spirit.
Yep.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So look at that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's two laws there, right? It's speaking of two different laws. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 16. I really like the book of Galatians too. Paul again speaking says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That's, which law is it talking about? The law of sin and death. Right? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it's going to list the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Think about that. But watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I like this part. Against such, there is no law. Mm-hmm. You ever had somebody say, hey, stop loving that person. There's a law against that. Mm-hmm. You ever had that happen? No, because there's no law against that.
Right?
There's no law against the fruits of the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let us not provoke one another. Let us not be envying one another. Amen. We are what God has made us. We want to just be thankful for what He has, you know, and so let's bow our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, it's been so good to be in your house tonight with your saints, with your people who love you and love your word and want to just conform to you and be transformed into what you are and be not conformed to this world. We love you, Lord. We just ask that you take this time before us now as we get into the ministry of your word. Lord, that you would just anoint me. Lord, just take me over and let me speak, Lord, whatever you'd have. We give your Holy Spirit complete preeminence to use me and use the ears and the hearts of your people to hear and believe and receive. We ask, God, that you'd be glorified in this tonight. We're gathered here in your name. We know you're present. You're here to drive away every evil thing and allow your people to see you and behold your glory. Lord, make it plain to us. Make our ear to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
You can be seated. The domain of life. We read in the scriptures there, there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then there's a law of sin and death. And so, you know, if I went out and I robbed a bank, what was going to happen? If I went and robbed a bank, what would happen? I'd get put in jail. That's right. If I went out and murdered somebody, or went out and burned down a house, or burned down a federal building, or something like that, if I did that, what would happen? I'd get thrown in jail, right? Mm-hmm. Why would I get thrown in jail? Because there's a law against that kind of thing, right? There's a law against that sort of thing. And so when the scripture says there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and then there's a law of sin and death, then we begin to see real quickly that we know that if you sin, you die. There is a law that says that if sin is present, then death must be the punishment. Death must come from it. So there's a law that dictates that, right? Everybody knows that, I'm sure. But then there's also the law of the Spirit of life. And that law says that if you have the Spirit of life in you, right, there is, because see, if you have the law of sin in you, then there's a wages of sin, which is death, right? So if you're going about acting out things that are violation of the law of sin and death, you're found in violation of that, then your reward is death because you have violated that law.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty simple. But then there's also the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which says if you be found doing something under that law, then there's a wage to that too. Right? And so if you're found, if they seek you out when it comes time to find out what's going on, and they seek you out and they find the law, find the Spirit of life in you, then there's a law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, and the wages of that is life, right? It's not sin, it's not death. So I just kind of showed you there is a law to those things. And so laws, you know, I had, you know, this generation is a lawless generation. I've never seen anything like it. I watched years ago, I started taking notice, you know, you'd be at a stoplight, and, you know, it turns yellow, and everybody's supposed to stop so you can go. And I got to watching how people, when the light would turn yellow, they just keep coming.
Yeah.
You know? And it used to be that, well, you know, they just barely get through, and then it turned red. And over the years, I'm talking 15, 20 years, it's been since I've been a Christian, because as a sinner, I probably wouldn't pay attention to that. But I've been watching this. And so I've watched through the years that it gets worse and worse. And it's now to the point that you see almost on a daily basis, you see the light change yellow, they keep coming. You see the light turn red, and they keep coming.
Right.
You know why? They're breaking the law. And I know every one of us misjudge sometimes because they don't time every light the same. And the driving conditions, sometimes you just misjudge it, and you might, run through a yellow that turns red on you or something like that. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about lawlessness, where these people know that they're going to be entering into that intersection when it's not their time anymore, and yet they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because they have a spirit of lawlessness upon them, because they don't believe anything's going to happen. And a lot of times it doesn't happen. Some places it will, because they got cameras.
Yeah.
Right? But you see, it's a spirit of lawlessness. It's a spirit of people saying, I don't have to submit to this law. And they're under the impression that nothing's going to happen. And in a lot of ways, it won't happen for a lot of people in man's system. But I want to ask you something. Can you transgress the law of God and get by with it?
No.
Think about it. You can do that with maybe a red light or something like that and get by with it. But you're not going to get by with transgressing the law of God. This ties into last week. God will not be mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And so, when there is a law of sin and death, there is no... God don't grade on the curve, if you know what I'm saying. There is no, pretty much everybody's sinners, so we'll let this guy get by because everybody else is a sinner too. No, it don't work that way. God has righteousness and a standard of righteousness that has to be held to. And of course, we know Jesus Christ did that for us. But that life in him has to be imputed, and that righteousness had to be imputed to us by faith. We know the scriptures say that.
Yeah.
And so they do this. They run through red lights and things like that because they don't believe they're going to get in trouble for it. And they have something in them that says, I'm going to do this because I'm in a hurry and I don't have to bow down to this law. It's not for me, or I ain't got time for it. Right? I used to work at a company before I went to work at Baldor, and it was a printing company, and there was a supervisor there, and Richard, don't you say nothing, because you'll know who I'm talking about, because he works there, used to work there, and he still does. But this supervisor, they finally, they used to let him smoke all the time in the building, and they finally said no more smoking in the building, right? And so, here's a supervisor over all kinds of people, and I catch him one day walking from the warehouse area, walking through the plant, and he had a cigarette in his hand, smoking it and hiding it. And I challenged him on it. I said something to him about it. You know what he told me as a supervisor? He said, rules are made to be broken. And him a supervisor.
Right.
Think about it. You know, that was many, many years ago. That's before I come to work at Baldor, and I've been in Baldor 22 years. And so it was before that, 25, 24 years ago maybe. Over 20. That was lawlessness then, and it's gotten nothing but worse, the spirit of lawlessness. We've got high-ups who think they're above the law. And you know what? The system lets them be above the law. They commit murder and crimes left and right, and proof, and nothing ever happens to them. Because there's a spirit of lawlessness. Right? They think that there's not going to be a payday. You know, there's a famous sermon. I have never heard it, but I've heard it talked about. It was preached many, many, many years ago. Said there's going to be a payday someday.
Yeah.
And there is. There's going to be a payday someday. We people are not going to get by with this. Because, you know what? I'm going to say this. I've been watching the political scene right now. And our media, the people who run the media, there's going to be a payday. There's going to be a payday, and I'm not talking about another paycheck from some billionaire. There's going to be a payday for them doing the things that they're doing, lying to the American people, lying to the public, and doing all the shady stuff they do to sway people's opinion and get them to think something that's not even right. There's going to be a payday someday, right? Because they're anointed with the spirit of lawlessness. And so, the scriptures talk about this law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death, it's your Bible, so you know what I'm fixing to say when I say it, that it's right. The law of sin and death rules over your flesh.
Yeah.
It rules over the flesh and the actions that your flesh takes, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I want to say it this way. When there's a law in place, a law has a jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And everything in its jurisdiction is subject to that law, whether you like it or not.
Right.
If you're born in the state of Oklahoma, you automatically are subject to the laws in Oklahoma. You don't have to sign up for it.
Yeah.
You're automatically under the laws of the state of Oklahoma because you're in its domain. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in its domain. Therefore, it already has jurisdiction on you. And you know what? You can stand up and say, I don't have to go for your laws. And you can go against them. And guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to wind up in jail or wind up in a grave somewhere.
Right.
See, because there's a law in place that dictates the actions in that domain. You know, a king does that. He has a domain, a righteous domain. He takes care of everything and responsible for everything. So a law has a domain. And so the law of sin and death has a domain.
Yeah.
And that domain is over the flesh, the nature of the flesh, the fallen nature of this world, which is the fallen nature of the flesh, right? And so the law of sin and death, it has jurisdiction over those things. So if we be found in that jurisdiction, then that law applies, right? Now, we were born in that jurisdiction, right?
Yeah.
We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, born with a flesh nature that's fallen and doesn't want the nature of God, doesn't want the things of God, runs away from God. We're born with that nature, so guess what? We're in that jurisdiction because we're in that nature. And so that jurisdiction, that law of that jurisdiction, it has power over you, whether you like it or not. You don't have to sign up for it. It's just already there, right? It's already there. And so that's the jurisdiction. So the domain of law and sin, you know, is a domain of the flesh. But it's also, I'm going to go ahead and say it this way, it's a domain of death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's what it leads to.
Yeah.
Anybody found in that jurisdiction dies. And so, now I want you to look at this. So we're talking about, you know, if the Bible says you know them by their fruits, right? So, you know, if I said to you, this farmer next to me, I see him all the time bringing in a truckload of small chickens. And I see him all the time going out with big chickens. And I see his wife down at the marketplace every week or whatever down at the neighborhood market selling eggs. What kind of occupation is this farmer? What kind of farmer is it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can tell you. Somebody say it.
Chicken.
He's a chicken farmer. You see what I'm saying? How did we know that? Are you prophets? No. You know them by their fruits. You know, this world is trying to get away from that concept.
Right.
Well, God knows it, you know, and they're totally denying the power of His presence to change them and take away sin out of their lives. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof,
right.
And they just go on making excuses, go on living a life that bears bad fruit.
Amen.
And you look at that fruit, and if you open your mouth and say anything about it, oh, you're judging me. Well, you know what? You better hope that I'm judging you now, because if somebody don't judge you now, if the Word doesn't judge you now, you're going to stand before me over there, and it's going to be a different story, because there won't be any mercy then.
Yeah.
We're going to judge the world. I tell you what, I hadn't really heard anybody say that, but it's awful hard sometimes not to go ahead and tell them, say, you know what, you might as well get over it, because you're going to stand before me and hear what I have to say one way or the other. Because God is going to make this generation rise up and stand before the believer of this day, and they're going to receive their judgment, their verdict, at the mouth of believers.
Amen.
That's what God is building character in us for.
Yeah.
You know what? These people that run this government, these people that run this media and stuff that I was talking about, all those things, I'm not naming names, you just, if they're on your list and you don't like them, get ready. Because they're going to stand before the believers of this day, and there's going to be a payday someday.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what's going to happen. And so this flesh is a domain of sin, and it's a domain of death. If I said the guy's got a New York driver's license, he drives around on the streets of New York, He lives in a house that's built in New York. What state does he live in? Okay. If a man runs around doing things that fall into the category of following after the flesh, what domain is he in?
Right.
Think about it. Now here's what the scripture said. We read it, but we're going to go over it. Here's the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication. When we think about these, listen to these, you know, things come to mind. People come to mind. You know, situations come to mind. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. When these things are resident in a people, what domain do they live in? And if they're living in that domain, then the law of that domain is on them.
Right.
And they're subject to that law. And they'll receive the penalty of that law. Right? So, you can see what law it is, where they live. They live in the domain, we talk about the domain of life in this, they live in the domain of life or of death, or the domain of the flesh, where there is a law of sin and death that rules over those things. Remember, we read the scripture said, if you walk in the spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? And if you're in the spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law of sin and death. It can't touch you if you're in the spirit. But if you walk after and please after the things of the flesh, as we read the other day, then you'll die. And so we can see where a person lives when we inspect fruit and we see those things in their life. They can call it judgmental or whatever they want. But when you look at those things, adultery, that's married people that shouldn't, you know, that's going places they shouldn't. Fornication, those who aren't married. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness, all kinds of things. Idolatry, hatred, variance, emulations. You know what it means to emulate someone? Isn't that what it means? Emulation means to act like someone, to emulate. How many people act like a big star?
Amen.
How many people act like Zor with his big sword or whatever his name is? Think about it. How many people acting like somebody else instead of being what God wants them to be? You know, the real child of God is filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not going to try and act like somebody else. They're going to be themselves in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
They're not going to try and mimic some basketball player, some famous movie star. They're not going to try and comb their hair like that, look like that. You know, they're not going to do it. And that brings it in where we realize that if the world is doing it, if it's sweeping fad to the world, you better not do it, because they're caught up in a spirit that's getting them to do it. And if I see people, so-called people in the message, and I see them trying to dress or pattern themselves after trendy and fatty things of the fad, not fatty, fad, fads of the world, instead of fatty, fads of the world, if I see that, then I know they're trying to emulate, they're being drawn by a spirit, that's a work of the flesh.
Yeah.
That's a work of the flesh. And what happens to those who found with that resident in them? Now you realize every one of us have those things in here.
Right.
The capability in the flesh, the physical flesh, because it didn't get born again. But when the scripture says that by the spirit you can mortify the deeds of the flesh, you can make that thing lay there and not move.
Right.
By the spirit of God. And that's what you have to do as a believer. And you cannot make excuses for it. That's the worst thing a person can do, is to make excuses for it. And so, now you have these things resident in them, then you know that they live in that domain. And the scripture said these are the works of the flesh. So, you know what law that you're living under, and you know what the curse of that law is, or what comes from that. So you know what, if you don't like, you know, you're living in the state of Arkansas, and if you don't like the state of Arkansas, what do? You move. You say, well, I kind of like the state, but I don't like the laws that judge me. I don't like the laws, what it tells me I have to do or I don't have to do. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, or I can't do. So if you live in a domain and you don't like its laws, you don't like the penalties it puts upon you, you don't like the restrictions it puts upon you, if it's making a slave out of you instead of letting you be free, then the best thing for you to do is not try to overtake the law, because you'll die in the process of it, right? The best thing for you to do is move somewhere else out of that domain. So if you know that you're born in the domain of sin and death, you know the law of sin and death is upon you, and you know that you're born with that nature, and you can see in yourself some of these things that we just read there that are works of the flesh, you see those things trying to live, and they're successfully living in your life, then you know that you're living in a domain where the law of sin and death is upon you. And if you don't like that judgment that's coming your way, if you don't want to die in a devil's hell,
yeah,
then move somewhere else where that curse is not upon you.
Amen.
Move somewhere where you're not going to have that domain and the law of that domain upon you. And God has made it very easy for us to move out of the domain of the law and sin and death into the domain of life. The domain of the spirit of life. Because in that domain, it's ruled by a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And when you live in that domain, if you live in Oklahoma, Arkansas state troopers can't come get you.
Yeah.
Right? So you understand what I'm saying. Somebody listening to this on the internet, they're probably going, what is he talking about? He's talking about breaking the law and some uprising, or what does he mean? No, I'm just talking about sin and death. If you don't want that upon you, then move. And God has made it possible for you to move to a different location where you have a different law that is upon you, and it's in the domain of life. So, you know, when people, different nations and different things, when people live in different nations, they look different, they talk different, they act different, they dress different, they eat different things, they eat different food in Mexico than we do, even though we try to eat a lot of their food because we like it. When I went to Turkey, there wasn't very many things over there I liked.
Yeah.
If I can't look at it and know what it is,
right,
I don't want to eat it. You know, I'm like, I'm trying to make that in my mind. I'm trying to look at that and say, that's chicken. But I'm not really convinced it's chicken, you know, because I'm not sure. So there was a lot of things I didn't like. I enjoyed, you know, they had eggs and they had bread and they had, you know, fruit and stuff. But some of them dishes they had that they dished out that looked like, you know, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
See, I didn't, but that's their food. They live on it. That's, you know, they love it. I went to Finland, and Finland wasn't near bad. Finland had good food. But they had some spices that was very peculiar. And when you eat those things, those spices and that food, hours later it still talked to you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't kind of, it just, you know, it was like, and so they have the food there because that's their jurisdiction. That's what, you know what I'm saying? But if I lived there and I didn't like those things, I could come to a different place where they have a different, you know, different diet. If you don't like what the world feeds you,
right,
if you're feeding on the world and you don't like the way it makes you feel, yeah, several hours later after you've done something you know you shouldn't do and you're feeling bad about it,
yeah,
why not pick up your bags and move?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, He'll bring you a Cadillac right up there to pick you up and take you. But you gotta go. You gotta go. Sold out. You gotta say, you know what? I'm changing nationalities. I'm no longer a citizen of this nation, of wherever it is you're living. I'm now changing my citizenship to another nationality.
Amen.
To leave this world and the things of the flesh and of the devil and all that, and go live under the domain of the Spirit of Life. Mm-hmm. To live there, to eat the things they eat, to dress the way they dress, to talk the way they talk. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To be like Christ, mm-hmm, and to be found in that domain means that you have to receive the benefits or the what the law says you have to, and that's eternal life.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you remain in the domain where death is, then you got death. So we have different nationalities. They look different, act different, talk different. You know, as a nation, Nations have diplomats. They have diplomats they send to other nations to represent them. The United States has foreign diplomats. They go over and they go into other nations. And they're there representing that nation. And they're there to work on behalf of citizens of the United States who happen to be in that country. Mm-hmm. And when that person gets into trouble or something, they can go to the U.S. Embassy. And that ambassador who's there and from the United States can help that person. He has special authorities over the law of the land because he's not under the law of that land, even though he's present there.
Yeah.
He's not under the law of that land, right? Because he has diplomatic immunity. And so he has to have that status. He has to live there in that way where he's not subject to those laws because if the people there had something against him or the nation he's from, and he started to try and help somebody else that they wanted to attack, they'd just come and attack him.
Yeah.
So he's got special privileges to come into that nation and to be about the business of the nation he come from, mm-hmm. and to go out there and to help those individuals from the nation he represents, right?
Right?
And so he's an ambassador, and that's what those things are about. And so there's a U.S. embassy probably in every nation out there. And when somebody's a U.S. citizen there, visiting there, and they get in trouble, they go to the U.S. Embassy. But being that ABB is a worldwide company, have businesses all over the world, and there's a lot of world travel. Mm-hmm. And when they have very, very clear, very strict travel policies, and they give you, they make sure that you have the information of the phone numbers and the processes that you need to take if you get in a situation where you need help.
Yeah.
They'll make sure you have the phone numbers to all the different people there in whatever nation you're going to so that you can make those calls and get that ambassador or that U.S. embassy, if you're coming from the United States, to get them working on your case if you need them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get robbed or if you know, whatever it might be. So you see what I'm talking about, a system that's in place where people have this. And so God sends certain ones here into this world.
Yeah.
We're from there.
Yeah.
And we're here. And we're here to help the people of God.
Yeah.
We have an immunity from this world because once you're dead in Christ Jesus, this world can't touch you. Mm-hmm. The law of sin and death can't hurt you. And so you can walk around right in the midst of it and you can say, you can't touch me because I have diplomatic immunity. And of course, You're a real diplomat, not going to be out there doing stuff contrary to the law anyway.
Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying. But he's here on behalf of those who do make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And he's there to help them and get them straightened out and maybe get them back home again. That's what ministry does. And so that's because it's a different nationality, a different domain. And so now let's look at the domain of life. Okay? What spirit or what law rules there? The law of the spirit of life. So if you be found in New York City, then the laws of New York City are upon you.
Yeah.
If you be found in the state of Oklahoma, the laws of Oklahoma is upon you. If you be found in sin and death, then those wages and those laws are upon you. But what if you be found in the domain of life?
Yeah.
Then the spirit of life is what rules and dictates you. And it's not a dictate. When you leave the realm, and it's really, it's like the difference is like communism to capitalism.
Yeah.
Communism that dictates everything, and you're a total slave to the system and get nothing. And you can leave there and you can come over here where there is no dictator. There's no dictator. Yeah. That's the difference. See, all these things and governments of the world, they all, you can see what their inspiration comes from. Right?
Yeah.
So our nation is not what it used to be, but our nation started out right to bring people into liberty and peace,
yeah.
not into bondage and slavery.
Right.
But it's not the same nation now. It's been just speaking like a dragon now. Mm-hmm. Not beginning, it's doing, it's a very a mature dragon
yeah.
now. But in the domain of life, that's where the spirit of life rules. And I want to show you something here in the scripture, and then we'll close. This won't take real long. But you notice it said, the adultery and fornication listed all those. It said, these are the works of the flesh. But look over here where it says, but the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not the works of the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Do you notice the difference? One of them is works, but the other one is fruits. Because when you have something that bears fruit, that means that there's life in it, and it can be planted and grow more life and more life and more life. Keep planting, keep growing, more life because it's got fruit. But if something is twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and has no fruit,
yeah,
it's death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's works of the flesh. He has to call it works because it sure isn't fruit. Why? Because there's nothing good. There's no life in it, and no life comes from it.
Right.
So it's works of the flesh. But the fruits of the Spirit is all those things. So when you have love and you have meekness and gentleness and all that, There are fruits that come from those things. That is the fruits of the Spirit. You plant it, and it brings forth more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering. Because it's fruit, right? You take a potato, and you plant it, it produces more potatoes. You take those potatoes, it produces more potatoes. And next thing you know, after just a couple of potatoes, you've got millions of them.
Yeah.
Because it's a fruit. So what if you come and you just give a little bit of love? Mm-hmm. What happens? According to the law of sowing and reaping,
Then
that has to come forth in more love. Give a little gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
That'll come forth in more gentleness. So now, God didn't call us to walk in a room where it's just full of love and say, here I am with my love to go with yours.
Right.
Because nobody would notice it.
Yeah.
But if he sends you into a room of trouble, and you show love, then according to scriptures, that'll come forth. And so, joy, peace, long-suffering, any of those things. If you just take any of those things, you know what? And say to yourself, you know, tomorrow, I'm going to show meekness or temperance or whatever. Now, you can't do this yourself, okay? You have to do it in the Spirit.
Right.
That's another problem. A lot of people, they want to try to act out these things and be driven by the flesh, and it's emulation. Trying to emulate a Christian, emulate the Holy Spirit. You can't emulate if you don't have it. And so, but it's fruit rather than works. And so fruit, you know, when you have life in you, then fruit automatically comes.
Amen.
Right? Fruit automatically comes. You don't have to go, oh, I'm going to, you know, like Brother Brent says, a sheep doesn't have to manufacture wool, it just bears it.
That's right.
He just walks around, man. And here comes the wool.
Yeah.
He's not going. And you go, what are you doing? I'm trying to make wool. He just walks around, eats a little bit, sleeps a little bit, and wool's coming. All right? So all you have to do, don't stay in the domain where sin and death is, because I don't care what you act like.
Right.
That law is still upon you.
Amen.
But if you just leave that domain and come over into the domain where the righteous is, then these fruits of the Spirit is to automatically come.
Amen.
You don't have to pretend nothing. Well, I'm going to quit smoking. No, don't worry about it. Just get in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to quit cussing. No, just get in Christ Jesus. He'll push it out.
That's right.
I remember, I think Brother Brennan mentioned this, and I notice on our trees all the time, I hate the look of them oak trees after all, most of the leaves are gone, and all winter long, here's all these little scraggly little leaves on the bottom of the tree, and they just hang there.
Yeah.
And I don't care what kind of winds come through, they just hang there.
Yeah.
They won't go away. Mm-hmm. But you know how to get rid of them? Let springtime come.
That's right.
Let new life come forth. They just fall off. Because new life has come.
That's right.
So you could get out of the domain of the dead leaves and get to where life is, and automatically these things of the world just fall off of you.
Amen.
And you look around and say, man, I ain't wanted a cigarette for months.
Yeah.
I hadn't said a cuss word, hadn't had a desire to.
Yeah.
You know? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so much of the world, they stay back over here and they pretend like they're in the righteous and they pretend like everything's okay, and they know down inside they're a boy whistling in the graveyard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's why when you mention something about it, they fly off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear it. They don't like being told that they're messing up. But proof is in the pudding, we say.
Yeah.
See? And so you know them by their fruits. And you know, we better tell them now. We better show it now. One of the best things to do is just have the real thing in you so they look at it and say, you know what? I don't have what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
But we better show it. We better be written epistles read of all men, because they're going to stand before us someday and we're going to have to judge them that way. It'd be better to judge them now, whether it's verbally or just in our walk. Right? They'll be condemned then. If they see our walk now and they reject it, they'll be condemned then. We don't have to say a word. They walk up before your white throne judgment. They walk up and go, oh, I remember you. They're not even going to stand there and try and say anything.
Because
they go, oh, I'm toast. Because I've seen him. I've seen her. They lived the right kind of life, and I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. It's kind of going to be kind of interesting, you know. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I know that that's there, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all that pans out.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't like what the law is that's bearing down on you, the sin and death, then just move over into the righteous and watch the fruits of the Spirit begin to come forth in your life.
Amen.
It automatically happened. Now, but you can't, in yourself, you can't rise up and come over into the domain of the righteous in yourself. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can take you there.
Amen.
He'll bring you, because you don't know how to get there. And if you try to in yourself, and many people do this, if you try to in yourself, you try to come, and you arrive to some place where you think is a born-again experience when it's really not. If you think that's, if you're doing that, then you've just simply come to a new place inside the same old zone of sin and death, and you're walking in deception. You've deceived your own self.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And He'll produce those things in you automatically. Amen. So, how many wants to live in the domain of life? Now,
yes.
I've said this because we're born in that domain of sin and death. And there's only one way to get out of it. There's only one way, and that's to have the Holy Spirit, through a new birth, take you from that judgment and place you over into the domain of life, where life rules, where that you're not under a law to condemn you. You know, in the same scriptures, if you read there in Galatians, the Galatians talks about there's a liberty in Christ. There's a liberty when you walk in the Spirit. And he says in there, don't use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh.
Right.
If you ponder on what he's saying there, the Christian believer is in such liberty that if he let his flesh do things that was wrong, see, which we don't want to do that because it's still in your flesh, and every once in a while we make mistakes, right? We understand that.
Yeah.
But he's showing that a person as a Christian can get in the wrong frame of mind and let that liberty that they know that they're saved in Christ Jesus become something that actually becomes an occasion for the flesh. In other words, you know, well, just like what the people out here are saying now, well, God knows. He knows that I'm not perfect. They're making excuses, right? So don't let this Christian gospel become an occasion to the flesh and say, well, I'm just, you know. But let it transform you so that these fruits are there and you're not having to pretend anything.
Amen.
You're not having to pretend anything. You know, I used to have a friend that I ran with in high school, and after I was out of high school. And when I give my heart to the Lord, done. Well, he went and told his mom and dad, he said, it won't last. It won't last a bit. Give him a couple of weeks. I'd never done that. I'd never made that cycle, you know, like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Going to church, out of church, in church, out of church.
Right.
But he just said, well, it won't last. Because I was his running friend. but it lasted. 2 or 3 years later, he calls me up and he wants me to go party. He wants me to go run with him. He said, go do this, go do that. And I said, you know, I said, yeah, my flesh probably could actually go do that. But I said, all the while that I was doing it, I'd be grieved in my heart.
Yeah.
Because it's not in my heart to do those things anymore. And that's it. To take that which is inside you that desires the things of God and feed it more.
Yeah.
And say no to the things that are contrary to it. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul.
Right.
Scripture says. To do that, to feed that, and say no to those other things. And walk like that. Mm-hmm. Walk daily in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And forget about those other things. They won't hurt you. As long as you're walking with the Lord. As long as you stay behind the Word, they won't hurt you.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to live in the domain of life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we can all say we're not perfect. You know, we could all say that every one of us probably have claws, skeleton in our closet. We wouldn't want to come out. We could probably say that. But I hope that every one of us can say, you know what? I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
I have a different desire in my heart now. And when I do make a mistake, it's like I get a hold of 10,000 volts of jerk and go back. And I have to make that right.
Amen.
I have to talk to the Lord until there's till he's not angry, so to speak, anymore. It's really more of anything, it's what's taking place in our own selves. But you understand, because he's much bigger than we are.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, that's the thing to do, is to keep fighting, keep walking, keep pressing on, believe in God for everything that he promised out of his word. There's a quote where Brother Branham says, whatsoever that he gives you faith or leads you to believe, that's what he has given to you. Amen. And so if the Spirit of God quickens something to you, he's given that something to you. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
We need to sing a song. And as you know, this is my weakness. Coming up with songs to sing, especially during service. Let me just see if there's one here. A page or two over. We'll just... Come and go with me to my Father's house. Let's all stand. QT.
Come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house.
Translates, in my Father's domain is many palaces. Right?
That's right.
So in that domain of the righteous, there's many palaces. And, you know, you could look at it this way. They're called theophanies.
Yeah.
There's
right.
one there for Brother Daniel, and there's one there for Sister Vicki, and there's one for me, and for Anna and Ben, and Aunt Mary, and Richard, my wife, all these young folks over here. Mm-hmm. There's a palace there for us.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts to Him at the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, Lord, for Your goodness upon us. Lord, we want to live in that place, that domain of the righteous, and the Spirit of life, that it is what rules and reigns over us, Lord, with joy in our hearts, to be happy to sit in that place and have that kind of leadership in our lives. Lord, we don't want to be in this world. We don't want to be led and living by the things of the flesh, which bring sin and death. But we want to live in Your presence, Lord. We want to come to Your house, Lord, where there's peace, peace, peace. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your goodness upon us, and ask God that You'll protect us. Lord, the world out there is a wicked place. It's getting dangerous. And Lord, Your people know that we need Your protective hand every moment of every day and every night. I pray, oh God, that You would give that protection to Your people. Lord, that You would keep us. And come, Lord, and bring us back to this house at the appointed time. Lord, that we could be in Your presence once again to rejoice in Your words. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And God bless you. You're dismissed.
Come and go with me to my Father.